Breakfast puppies?
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars, but mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Hey folks, NPC here. This is just a quick pre-episode note that I want to put in to let everybody know that I literally forgot to edit this one until just now. This was recorded several months back. I believe it was early August. Yeah, sorry. It's a little bit late. The only reason I'm putting this in here is because Xander is talking about an event that happened and still happens, and the date that he gave was in August. Well, that event has passed, unfortunately. However, like I just said, it is still going, and it's going pretty strong. So if you want to attend the next session of Con Cocktail, it should be in December 5th, and probably then again on January 2nd of 2023. Also, a quick tech note for this episode and the one following. I used a different microphone as an experiment. It sounded good at the time, but now it doesn't quite meet my standards. So I apologize if it sounds a little bit off. I will not be using that microphone again. Anyway, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, NPC, what are you opening over there?
Oh, it didn't make a noise. Oh, man, it's
what?
Got a cork.
There's a cork, too. There's a bottle cap and a cork.
Wait.
I didn't even see that.
I'm really glad right before we started, I set this corkscrew here.
We just got cork blocked.
Oh.
This is Canteron, Brewers of Belgium's most authentic lambic.
Ooh.
It is, okay, I want to think this is called a Bruxella, maybe? 1900 Grand Cru.
Oh, boy.
Organic lambic aged 3 years in oak.
What?
Yes.
Right?
So I was told we were drinking beer. I did not realize we were drinking one of those weird Belgian wheat wines.
So funny story about this one. I know nothing about it except that when I went over to Belmont Station, who does not sponsor this, but maybe one day they will, I was buying fascinating. I was buying beers for another project, my side little space games and space beer project. And I was asking the guy, oh, yeah, you got any interesting beers? No. I had reached for one beer on a low shelf, and I don't even know what it was that I was reaching for. It just had a cool logo. And the guy's like, oh, you're reaching for that. I'll bet you'll like this. And he points to this bottle that was over on the shelf. And I said, well, why would I like that? It's like, that's like the most sought after beer in almost the world right now, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, well, yeah, we just have one bottle left. Okay, I'll take it. I want to say it was like a $50 bottle or something.
Holy shit. No, it wasn't that much. I think it was only like 30 something, wasn't okay. It?
That's anyway. Still a lot for
a beer.
Well, when you're putting a bottle up in a barrel for 3 years.
Yeah.
No, ooh, that smell. Anyway, let's pass this around.
Thank you.
Ooh, it has that weird aged Belgian.
Can you hand me the
specific gravity thing?
Yeah, if you want to read the rest of what's written on there.
I'm really just fascinated by this bubble that's in there.
Oh, the funk on this.
That is funky.
Who got the funk? This beer got
a
the funk.
Classic, okay. Specially selected single batch of lambic aged 3 years in the cask. The only unblended real lambic you can find anywhere. Store and serve at cellar temperature. Do not serve cold. Pour gently, leaving behind the yeast sediment into a wine glass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was going to ask why it wasn't cold, and that there answers that question. Yeah.
Oh, that's some funky business.
I don't hate this. I'm not normally a fan of lambics.
If you don't like stunt sours, where they're like Belgian sours, where they're trying to make it as sour as possible, but you like where they start at, they just go way too sour for you.
Yeah.
This is a good starting place. Yeah. It's got the funk of some other Belgian styles, but has that nice sour of a Belgian sour.
I
think I could do some damage on this.
I am a former sour drinker. For some reason, I just sort of stopped drinking sours. I just couldn't stand them anymore. But like 10, 15 years ago, sours were my jam. I like this because it's a hint of sour.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it smells weird.
It does smell very strange.
I do not care for it. It smells weird.
Got some stank on it.
You know what I want? I want a shot of Malort with this as the back.
Oh, motherfucker.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because that botanical flavor that's left behind by Malort
could
really accent this well. Oh, wow.
I am in hell, aren't I?
Speaking of being in hell, you're listening to Biker's Dice and Bars, recorded here in Portland, Oregon. We haven't met in a while, so in case you've forgotten who we are, I am NPC.
I'm Just Jacob.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
And I am Poppy Beaujolais.
And we are drinking this rare lambic, which some of us like. And I think Xander has a good story for us about a new thing that's happening, the hip new thing.
I sure do.
I just want to make a real quick note here that Xander looks like an old-timey news reporter right now. And I was very disappointed because he's even got the hat and it doesn't have a press badge in it. I was just breaking my heart.
I did get this brand new haircut and this actually used Bailey's Made in America hat for $10.
Great.
I don't know why it was that cheap because it's very good.
Now, instead of a press pass, you just need one that says bartender.
Yeah, we can do that.
Or regular human bartender.
Regular human bartender.
Jackie Daytona.
So, anyways, back to the new thing that's happening. Xander, it's really weird seeing you with a shirt. And tell us more about what's going on.
What?
All will be explained in due time, Bobby. Okay. So, my partner and I, Natasha, we started a monthly show at the Star Theater where I currently bartend. And it is called Concocktail, the Crafty Cocktail Competition.
Now, was Natasha the one who was over here for the Crater Valley game?
Yes.
Natasha's rad.
Natasha is rad. So we got really drunk one night at Billy Ray's. Okay, we get drunk at Billy Ray's a lot. But one particular night when we got drunk at Billy Ray's dive bar here in Portland, we were stumbling back home and we just kind of went, you know what? You know what would be cool, man, if like, and I don't know why there isn't one. What if there was like a cooking cocktail cooking competition show, but like with booze. And so we drunkenly hashed it out. And then we woke up the next morning and went, this could actually be a thing, I think. And then we started working on it more. And I talked to my boss and he goes, yeah, sure. Have a show. I don't care. It's Monday night. Nothing happens here. So now we have a monthly show.
And which bar is this happening at?
Star Theater in Old Town.
Excellent.
Six and Burnside. So we just had our second show. It is basically three rounds, three competitors, three judges, four criteria per cocktail. And we are trying to make this. So I've been in cocktail competition shows before. I've seen them before. They are very elitist. They're very gatekeepery. They're very pretentious, mostly male dominated, and they fucking suck.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, get over yourself, you pretentious piece of shit. So we're trying to make that the exact opposite of what this show is. And so what we do, and what we have been doing for the first two shows, is we get bartenders from all walks of life. You know, and we're trying to really highlight, you know, the diversity of bartenders as well. We get dive bar bartenders. We get craft bartenders. We get, you know, to like margarita bar bartenders, you know, just everybody. Also to show too that, you know, your bartender might out bartend your fucking fancy ass bartender too. What we do for the judges panel as well is we go and try to get someone from front of house, someone from back of house to represent all the service industry, and we get a local celebrity guest judge as well. Our first one was Saint Syndrome, the incredible piano playing drag queen, who got all gussied up, and it was great.
Amazing.
She also added a lot of things to help the contest get better, too, like with her feedback after the show. Our second local celebrity guest that we had was none other than Alan Edwards, a.k.a. Honest Babe Lincoln, that we had on the show here.
Nice. I miss him.
The photo ops he had afterwards, like, he, like, couldn't leave because everyone just wanted a fucking photo with him.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Oh, there were a lot of people who wanted more than just a photo with him.
So I heard.
Oh, my.
And the best part, too, was when he was judging, his comments about the drinks always had a Lincoln quote in them. He would just go, you know, this drink would make a more perfect union. Just killing it on the judges panel. It was great.
This drink stands for the truths that we as Americans hold dear, and went on for like another minute. It was just, oh God.
I haven't felt a feeling like this drink in 4 score and 7 years.
4 score and 7 shots ago, our bartenders came to this. Anyway.
Oh my God, I miss him.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. So,
and if you want to know who we're talking about, he's been on the show before, folks. Go back and listen to our, well, we did have
Mothership.
Oh, several episodes with him. What we did, we played through the Mothership role-playing game. Mm-hmm. And he was quite memorable.
He's crazy as fuck, yeah.
Jolly the Roger. The immortal Jolly the Roger.
With no pants.
With no...
Oh my God, that was whole game was just a fucking... just a meth-induced haze of... the characters, not the people running, not the actors. Anyway, it was just wild and crazy. Anyway, I blew up the ship. What? Okay.
So we have 3 rounds of increasing difficulty. They are timed rounds as well. Jacob helped with the first round in the last show because he was nice enough to be my door guy. And the first round is called Well, 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 a.k.a. the idiot customer round, where we get a plant from the audience, who this last time was Jacob, to give the most asinine fucking drink order to the bartenders as possible. And they are limited to well liquor. They're limited to well liqueurs, basic mixers and juices. So the full bar is not open to them yet because fuck this customer. They don't get the good stuff. To which then Jacob fucking ordered.
Oh, God.
Guys, you got to help me. I'm here and there's this cute guy. And oh, my God, I think I got a chance of getting lucky tonight. Oh, my God. And at that point, Xander happened to turn around. So his back was the stage. And I'm sitting there biting my knuckle going, that ass. All I hear is the audience losing it behind me. All I know is that he doesn't like rum. He's really into Pokemon and is allergic to citrus.
And he has a nice ass.
So a rum and coke.
Doesn't like rum.
Oh, fuck. Right. You just said that. My brain
and
doesn't work.
He's really into Pokemon. And if you're a bartender and you can help someone score in a consensual way, that's a tip.
Okay, I need a Pokemon well drink. What do you got?
Some of them did have a fair amount of like blue curacao just to go and add for a nice color. Again, if you use citrus, that would dock you on points.
Yeah, so no citrus, no rum, something Pokemon.
Yep, something colorful, you know, that type of thing. I
mean, there's no Ouzo, is there?
No,
there was not.
Ouzo sounds like a Pokemon.
Ouzo!
Yeah, so Jill from Bradshaw...
Bradford's.
Bradford, sorry. Wrong bar. Ooh. Jill from Bradford's came up with the purple drink.
Was it a Ditto?
Don't know.
Okay.
But...
yeah, it was very pretty in color. It looked like a Pokemon, you know, so kudos to that. And yeah, we start a 4-minute timer. I give commentary. My band leader, Skip Von Kusky, who's written our theme songs, also wrote a theme song to Concocktail.
Oh, nice.
we banter back and forth. You know, the audience realizes that this is not your normal cocktail show at the point in which the plant goes and gives that fucking order. So they kind of start getting a little rowdy. They start getting really into it. They start, like, you know, cheering us on and everything and shouting shit. And I shout shit back. So it's kind of a very fun and raucous kind of environment. And in between the rounds, I go and bring up the bartenders and I go and ask the bartender daily question of the day, which this time for the first three shows will be, what is your favorite story about 86ing somebody from your bar? And the audience is like, fuck yeah, give me that. Feed me that. I want to hear them, because we all have one, right? Yeah. And then the second round is your take off of a classic cocktail. So I name the cocktail at the time so the audience and the judges and the contestants all get to know at the same time. For instance, our very first show was your take off an old fashioned. Any base spirit you want, any bitters you want, any sugar you want, the rest is up to you, but it must be recognizable as an old fashioned. And then we open up all the rest of the ingredients on the bar to the contestants to use.
Hmm. So this is like, well, okay, well, I have some questions. Hmm? How friendly is it?
It's very friendly.
Okay, so this is basically the British baking show of cocktails.
Much more raucous.
Much more raucous. Okay. It's like if...
Well, I mean, they'd also be much more raucous if they were drunk.
Although they'd also be much more raucous if they weren't British. If they were Irish.
Oh, shot fired.
Yeah, I mean, if it was the Belfast baking show.
I would watch the shit out of that. But yeah, it's not... I mean, it is a competition. There is money at stake, but it's not like people are, like, you know, fucking side eyeing each other or anything like that. You know, they're laughing.
They're not sabotaging each other like that. Yeah. No.
And then the final round is what we call the brown paper bag mystery challenge.
Ooh.
In which we get a locally made weird spirit, put it in a brown paper bag in front of them. They don't get to know what the fuck it is. I then give a shot to the judges so they know what it tastes like. The only criteria for this is that the spirit must not be masked in flavor. You have to go and have it be prominent in the drink. You can make whatever the fuck you want out of this. Hmm. So for our very first show, we used at a Portland Shrine Distillery's Rose Hibiscus Gin.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And for our second show, we used, shout out to our sponsors, a company. We used their Marigold Citron Orange Peel Amaro Liqueur. Which was a very interesting, fun, bright flavored liqueur Amaro.
Nice.
I would be ecstatic if you did one with Zbrovka.
I love Zbrovka. I might think about that. So, you know, that happens. The winner of the contest gets a $100 cash prize delivered in a Crown Royal Apple bag with a dollar sign drawn on top of it.
Crown Royal Apple, the best Crown Royal.
And we fill it with the two forms of currency bartenders hate most, $2 bills and dollar coins.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. So you get you get like $50 in dollar coins and $50 in...
Whatever I get from the bank at that given
whatever.
Time.
Whatever, yeah. Okay. Oh yeah, my God, that's what they funny. Get.
Yeah. But they reach in, they're like, oh, fuck.
Fuck you.
But also makes for a heavier bag too, so it seems like...
It's like, then it makes a little...
Yeah, it gets a little jingle to it, you know? You know, and then after that, we go and... We asked for the youngest member of the audience to come up on stage. We're going to give them a free shot. We're not going to tell them what that is.
Nice.
This is Natasha's bit. She goes up and says, the only criteria you have to do, as she cards them, making sure that they're the age they say they are. Yeah. It's been like 23, 24 year olds so far.
Okay.
She says, you have to take a little sip. You have to say the line, which is, I'll have another. And then you finish the rest of the shot.
Okay.
And at that point is when I pull that bottle out of the bag to let them know they've just been malorted.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Gold.
The best part is that when Natasha is like a professional stage manager, that's what she does for a living. So like my front of house to her back of house kind of makes for a perfect combination to make the show happen. So she has these, you know, very bullet pointed show notes. And at the very end, it just says abuse children. So,
oh, my God,
that happens. But and the cool thing, too, is that we've gotten. At first, we didn't know what the fuck we were doing. So we were going to local distillers asking them to sponsor us, asking them for ungodly exorbitant amounts of money, to which they then ignored us. And we realized, oh, they can donate product, but money's hard.
Yeah. Okay.
So we started getting local sponsors. Like, once we got our first one, everything else just kind of fell into our lap. And then people were asking us if we would allow them to be sponsors on our show before the show even fucking happened. It was weird. So we got Bull in China. They make fabulous locally made barware, shakers, strainers, spoons, jiggers, those types of things, stirring vessels.
I will admit to like having to control myself when I saw that stuff on stage. I'm like, oh, those are so beautiful.
Yeah, they even have a bunch of fun different mats, including a brand new like rainbow metal tinted matte finish on it. It's incredible. It's very pretty in the sun, in the light. We also got a company, which again is a very funny name because our rep was even saying when people ask who he works for, he goes, a company. And they're like, yeah, but which one? It's A-C-C-O-M-P-A-N-I.
It is the word a company with an I instead of a Y.
Okay.
Yeah, they chose it because they wanted to say this drink will be able to accompany you when you're drinking with your friends or something like that. And then it just didn't realize it was maybe not the best name. But they make fine Amaros in vermouth in this city. And they have a tasting room on 9th and Hawthorne, straightaway cocktails, where they also sell bottled cocktails to go.
Oh, I've had those. Those are fabulous.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
They're right across the street from the comedy club.
Yes.
Yeah, Heidi got me during my 2020 COVID birthday. She got me a gift pack full of stuff from Straightaway, and they hand delivered it. It was fabulous.
I am particularly fond of their Negroni.
Yes. Those Negroni spritzers.
It's amazing.
Were so good. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, they use their vermouth and their crimson snap amaro in that, and it's pretty great.
So are you going to try and get aviation in on this?
I have thought about it. The main thing, though, is I wanted to get more, like, aviation is a great gin. Do not get me wrong. They are a great gin. But it's not a weird, unique thing for that we'd want to use for the Brown Paper Bag Mystery Challenge. However, if aviation wants to throw me $1,000, fuck yeah.
Fuck happy yes.
What if, imagine... celebrity guest judge Ryan fucking Reynolds.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But it would be like an unannounced thing. Like he would just appear.
I don't know if he drinks anymore though.
Yep.
Is that why he looks so fucking good?
Probably. Yes, probably. He's also Canadian.
Yep.
We also got the Bitter Housewife is one of our sponsors too. So they make a bunch of great bitters. We have their grapefruit bitters, orange bitters, lime coriander bitters.
I have been playing with their bitters on and off for the last 2 months. I have like three of them. I am loving them.
Yeah. The cardamom bitters, incredible with gin.
Oh, we gotta talk to Sake One and see if they'll be still sponsor. Fucking sake cocktails.
Again, that we are thinking about things like that for the future that I'm not going to go give away right now in case people go and listen. Okay. But we also got Union Mezcal. Actually, their awesome rep, Jessica, fucking came to the Star Theater a couple days before our first show asking for me by name. And I was like, huh? You the guy at the cocktail show? I'm like, yes. But it hasn't happened yet. How can we be involved? I'm like,
can we do a crossover Bikers Dice and Bars and Con Cocktail recording extravaganza?
I think we can definitely do that.
I mean, how does our audio producer feel about that?
That's a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
See, I have three judges. There's a just Jacob. There's a Poppy. There's an MP. Wait a second.
Celebrity judges. We've all worked in the service industry.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've worked
front of house, back of house, and bar all represented. Yeah. So
I was a dishwasher. I've worked as a stage manager and as a house manager.
Yeah, I think that works for me.
I drank
all except bartending.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've never bartended.
Well, you guys like drinking, and Jacob has bartended a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Plus, he's got a smart ass.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know what criteria I'm going to be dropping in there if I ever get dropped in. It's going to be like, I'm just going to warn you all, I'm adding another criteria to this.
Off the air, I will tell you some of the other things that we're planning on doing for the semifinals, which is actually where the whole thing is going to be going. So we did our July show, August show, next show, September 12th.
September 12th, Star Theater.
Star Theater, I'm doors at 8.
Ugh. Definitely going to that one. I know. So I'm so old.
Skip plays music starting at about 8:40. And then show is at 9.
Oh, God, the show doesn't start until 9? Oh, no.
It's service industry.
Oh.
They don't wake up till like 4 in the afternoon.
Oh, okay. Yep.
But
I don't miss that life.
The fun thing is that, again, July, August, and September show, September 12th at the Star Theater. The three winners from those then go and will face off in October for a semifinal. And then we're going to rinse and repeat two more times until we have three semifinal winners. And hopefully if the show keeps going next year, around this time, we'll have the grand championship.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be that kind of fun thing. The semifinals will have more difficult challenges, also bigger cash prizes. In addition to, and I want to make a note of this too, because this is very important to me, Natasha, that we go and make sure that in the semifinals, when it gets increases from 3 to 5 rounds, that one of them is a zero-proof mocktail competition as well.
Cool.
That one of those gets thrown in, because we always want to make sure that those people are included too. For those awesome. Who have given up drinking, it is also part of our specialty menu as well. We always have an NA cocktail on there too. That is like a lower price, but like still damn good, because we don't want to like, yeah. like people who charge like full price for a non-alcoholic booze. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Let them drink for cheaper.
That's ridiculous. Communism. Yeah.
I mean...
Okay, yeah, I know it depends on what goes in.
I will die on that hill, but it all depends on what you put in it.
Sure.
Yeah, that's fair.
Sure, I agree, but...
Like one of
mine. But yeah. If there's a version of the same thing with the same ingredients plus a booze and it's the same price,
yeah, no,
place could die in a fire.
They can die in a fire. Yeah, 100% agree. But if I do like an Englishman in India, you know, that in ingredients is practically a $9 drink just in ingredients. Mm. So, you know.
The winners of all the rounds I'm putting on so far too also receive a... our last sponsor, the Fraternal Order of Bartenders Lifetime Membership Coin.
Oh, very cool.
Yes, it is very fun. So that's the idea that I'm having. That's what we're running with. It's been pretty successful show so far. We have it at a pretty low price point, $10 to get into to go to the show.
Nice.
And I think for this next show, we're going to add VIP tables so the people in the front can taste the cocktails too. If I pay us a little bit extra because we need money to put on the show.
Have you thought about taking... some of the best cocktails that are voted on that evening, and then afterwards turning it into the house drink for the night?
Funny you should mention that. So the winner of the brown paper bag mystery challenge, not necessarily the winner of the entire contest, but the winner of the brown paper bag mystery challenge gets their cocktail featured on the cocktail menu of the Star Theater for the rest of the month and for every one of my shows. So our actual menu for cocktail keeps growing with all the winner's drinks on them. So people can try them.
That's awesome.
They won't be able to do it that night because everyone at that point is drunk and we can't give that recipe to the bartender quick enough to make sure that they can make it happen then and there. But starting the next day, you can order it.
Oh my God. And then every year you can have a cocktail recipe book that you print. And then you've got everyone in there with their recipes. Oh, a calendar.
There's 12 of them.
Bartenders of Portland and their winning drinks.
Oh, ooh. Yes.
Wait, 12 of them and a final. So, 13 pages. There you go.
Lucky 13. Okay. If you want to go find out more about us, concoctail the Crafty Cocktail Competition Show on Facebook. We are on the Instagrams at concoctailpdx. And you can email us at concoctailpdx@gmail.com if you're interested in attending, being a contestant, being a judge.
And that is con, C-O-N?
Yep.
Okay.
And when you come to the door, bring cash. It really irritates door guy when he has to explain to you for the third time where the nearest ATM is.
So it's cash only.
It is
at the door.
Cash at the door only.
Okay.
You can do pre-sale online at ticketweb.com.
Okay.
Cool.
It just helps the cash.
I generally don't carry cash in my pocket when I walk around the neighborhood.
Same.
And that's fair. So again, bar obviously is cash and card. Door is cash only unless you buy a pre-sale ticket, which is fun too. So we hope we will go and see you on September 12th for this fantastic cocktail competition show with live music.
This is the last call for alcohol. this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol, get going. Drink up, drink up, drink up, then order again.
Okay, Xander, what is the best tasting cocktail that you've had in this competition so far?
So our winner of our last competition, Chris Silva, who works at the Moxie in downtown Portland, for the second take off of your take off a classic cocktail was the sour, to which I very cleverly provided them with eggs because I was really hoping all of them would make egg whites, would use egg whites for a proper sour. He made a mezcal sour, which was incredible, using our other sponsor, Union Mezcal. Mm. And it was really good. Just like a smoky sour with the creaminess of the... Oh, so good. So good.
One of the good things about it is many of the bartenders have a little bit of showmanship. They're not like stunt pourers or anything, but like Chris looked at the ingredients and suddenly like picked up the mezcal in one hand and picked up the egg in the other and was like, just this huge explosion face.
And suddenly the Beach Boys start playing. Aruba, Jamaica,
yeah. Given he was dressed as a pirate, that's kind of appropriate.
Oh yeah. He looks like he's like a crust punk kind of dude who just is super professional at work and then just like crusty as fuck when he's not there, dressed in full pirate gear, tricorn hat, eye patch, and a custom made eye patch. Apparently he's actually blind out of one eye, so like it doesn't impede him at all when he goes and bartends. And and the other last thing too is four criteria for the drinks: taste, balance, appearance, and didn't meet the criteria for the round with awesome first guest Saint Syndrome Saint. And if there's a tie, can we suggest that the sexiest shake while you were shaking a cocktail is the tiebreaker? And everyone was like, yes, we agree to this.
Not quite a sexy shake. But let's close this out with our thoughts on this beverage of the evening, this lambic. I understand Poppy is not a fan.
I don't care for it. It's not the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth, by far. But it's not my thing. But I could see why people like it. It's just not my thing.
Jacob?
I love it. It's got what I like about a Belgian sour. It is got a more traditional lambic up front feel. It's really nice. I want more of this. Poppy, give me your share.
I think NPC beat you to it.
Damn it.
Well, I will pass you the rest of this bottle when I'm done reading it after Xander tells us what he thinks.
I like it. It has a nice funky, funky nose, which, again, can go either way. This way, I think it goes into the good way. The mouthfeel of this is really delightful. Again, agreeing with Jacob, it is just that kind of hint of sour without going and being so mouth puckering that you kind of just question why you just did that. The flavors themselves are very subtle, but they're very delightful. I like this beer. If this was a $30 bottle, I don't think I would buy it again, but I'm very glad to have tried it.
I feel almost exactly the same on everything that you just said. I probably won't ever buy this again unless I can find it on a discount or I'm in some strange, random, like rage craving for some Cantillon sour. I don't really like sours. I don't like sour candies. I don't like sour drinks anymore, which is weird because my favorite beer for a very long time was Duchesse and I just can't drink it anymore. But this is tasty. It's that faint hint of sour. I equate that faintness to Mike and Ike's. Mm-hmm. I love Mike and Ike's candies, but people will frequently also bring over Mike and Ike's sours. However, if you take a handful of like eight regular Mike and Ike's, but plug in one sour in there, that's the kind of mix of sour that's happening here. And I dig it a lot.
It doesn't make you want to pucker your mouth at all. It's like, that's pleasant and weirdly kind of cleansing.
Yeah. Anyway, this was the Cantillon Bruxella, I'm butchering this word, 1900 Grand Cru Organic Lambic, aged 3 years in oak. Purchased this over at Belmont Station. I doubt they have any more, but if they do, give it a shot. It's pretty tasty.
It's definitely an experience. I've never had anything quite like that.
Well, it's good to be recording here again.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll get more stuff back into the feed. You can catch us on Discord, on all the podcast places. Occasionally I tweet.
I mostly just post random, really random stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Let's see if we can remember this. I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
I am Poppy Beaujolais.
And again, we wish to remind you.
Keep your shiny side up.
Always tip your bartender.
Always roll those crits. There we go. Yeah.
And please always drink responsibly.
Thanks for joining us, friends.
You've reached the end.
Of Bikers, Dice, and Bar.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your car. The Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
So you were asking about the whole Xander not wearing a shirt. Yes. Xander was supposed to come out in this velvet suit.
I had this amazing black button-up shirt with a, you know, a red tie and a black crushed velvet vest and a red crushed velvet like lounge blazer with like black trimming. It's fucking gorgeous.
Oh, wow. Like a smoking jacket kind of thing? Or
very beautiful. Okay. I'll show you a picture.
So Xander apparently forgot his white shirt. So what he comes out on stage in is the pants,
mm-hmm.
the black velvet vest, and nothing else. Now imagine this lean greyhound of a man that is Xander in just this black velvet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Given the nature of the competition, I don't think anybody would have questioned it whatsoever. However, I felt like I had to explain myself to those who were just like, what the fuck, dude? Also, because I spent most of the day running around in a t-shirt because I was setting things up, to which even Natasha didn't recognize me when we were supposed to have breakfast. She walked right the fuck past me because I was wearing a baseball hat and a shirt. And she was like, oh, shit, that's you. Yeah. Yeah.
Delta Force sweetheart. Operators wear giant beards so they can shave them down to be undercover. Xander just takes his shirt off.
No.